Yes, their constitutional right to protest. And we'll get to the constitutional right stuff. I'm talking about how unhinged they become, where they lose all sense. I was going to show you videos, but it just irritates me. So I didn't want to be irritated any more than I am while I do this. So the screaming, the throwing stuff at officers, the spitting, the cussing, the nastiest cussing that you've ever heard, just the craziness. But mobs are nothing new. I've been reading in Acts, and I couldn't help but think about what was going on today. King Solomon said, there is no new thing under the sun. He's saying that there is a repetitiveness cycle of nature and of human life and history. The same basic issues of sin and human desires repeat throughout history. This has all been done before. Everything that you go through has been done before and been fought, won or lost. We know the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Jewish rulers actively stirred up the crowd against Jesus because his ministry threatened their power, their prestige, and interpretation of religious law. So they accused him of all sorts of things to manipulate the public to demand his crucifixion. They incited the crowd and specifically persuaded the crowds to demand Barabbas' release and to crucify our Lord, who didn't do a thing wrong. They spread disinformation and accused Jesus of being a deceiver, a lawbreaker, tried to discredit him and trap him with the gotcha questions. Mark 11:15 says this, in the New Living Testament. When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals. That is not the verse that I meant. Mark, is that 15:11? I have written it down wrong. Okay, let me go back. Let me read it. It's just to prove what they did. I have these handy Dan markers now. You get used to them. Did I say 1911? One of you could have shouted it out for me, but that's okay. It said, but the chief priest stirred the people so that he should instead be released, release Barabbas to them. So stirred, I'm going to tell you what that means. It means to confuse. In this scripture, now we can stir ourselves up in the Lord, but this is in this verse, it means stirred means this. To confuse, greatly trouble, incite, throw into disorder, provoke, stimulate to anger, and fan the flame. Anything sound familiar? Clearly, this is the work of our enemy. And then there was Paul in the New Testament and the opposition of the early Christian movement. There was a recurring theme of violent opposition by irrationally rapid escalations and social chaos and beatings and riots. All throughout the book of Acts, there was mob behavior. I was going to list them all, but I'm going to tell you a few. In Acts 6, it says, filled with jealousy, blaspheming, and contradicting, Acts 13, stirred up and raised up persecution. I'm just using the words they use. Acts 14, stirred up, embittered their minds against the brothers. Acts 14, they stoned. Acts 16, they dragged Paul, rose up together, tore their garments off of him, and beat him. Acts 17, gathered a crowd, stirred the city, attacked their house. Acts 19. Most of them did not know why they had come together. They just showed up, and they got stirred up. In Acts 21, stirred up all the people. City was provoked, and people ran together to seize Paul. The Bible warns against mob mentality. by emphasizing individual responsibility, discernment, and standing for righteousness, not following the crowd in evil. Now, as the pastor of a wonderful and great church, who are mostly law-abiding, loving, and honor the word of God, do I believe in the right to protest? You bet your bottom dollar I do. You better believe I do. My daddy fought for this. There may come a day when I want to peacefully march for the right to life or anything else that I see as a valuable cause to God. In fact, I've gone from the wanting to and the thinking about it into the planning stages of going to the dedication back to America that So, I mean, I'm really looking into that. Do you have any idea the significance of that? That is the significance as when the first people came over and got down on their knees and made covenant with God. We are recovering America back to God in the heavenlies. I can't even tell you the significance of that. And so Lauren and I are thinking about that. I mean, we've gone from thinking to talking about it. And so anyway, so let's take a look at our First Amendment in simple terms. Criteria can understand. There are five core freedoms in aliens. This really helped me to dig. You learn. Number one, religion. You can believe what you want. Practice your religion, and the government can't create an official religion or establish a national religion. Amen. Number two, you can say what you think, even if it's unpopular, offensive, or about politics, but it does not cover things like inciting violence or true threats. Let me tell you this. There's consequences to your words. And it doesn't say, I mean, it's the same thing with God. When we say negative things, it's there. And our actions. You take this too far and you don't do it right, jail time for you. Number three, the media can report news and opinions without government censorship. Number four. Well, let me just stop there with number three. Let me tell you what the media can't do. They cannot barge into our church and disrupt our service. I don't care what color you are or what station you are. You cannot do that here. And if you do that, we cannot be responsible if you are able to walk out of the church. Thank you. Number four, we have the right to gather peacefully with groups for protest. Number five, we can ask the government to address our grievances or change something. Let me say this about an inalienable right. The founders viewed these rights as government-given, God-given. Inalienable means, I just had to look it up, so I'm just looking it up for me, so I'm sharing it with you. Unable means unable to be taken away from or given away by the possessor. You can't take my rights away. I can't give them to you. They're mine. God gave them to me. So, John Dickinson, one of the signers of the Constitution, says this, so I'm quoting now. A right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away. God gives these rights. We empower the government to protect them, but government cannot take them away, can't regulate them or restrict them. He goes on to say, human governments could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and the Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchment and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence, which establish the laws of our nature. They are born with us, exist within us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives, unquote. So anytime a government official gets to thinking he gave you a right, no. That is an inalienable right. And if you anyone tries to tell you that our founding fathers did not base it on the principles of the Bible, blah, they're so wrong. Okay, on a side note, sometimes the government forgets that there is a power higher than itself. We have to elect people that realize, men and women, that realize and know this. As Christians, that's our job, so they can protect our rights. I need a little bit more affirmation here. I got some heads going. That's the reason that we're in the mess that we're in is because we have forgot to vote for people who will protect us. Amen? Thank you. Now, getting back to these violent protesters, they have a protected right to protest, but not violently. You can't take your vehicles and run over a police officer or an ICE officer. You can't throw things in their face. You can't spit in their face and think everything is going to be rosy. You put yourself in harm's way by doing that, and you're breaking the law. We seem to have lost the ability or want to sit down and have a civil discourse. What happened to that? What happened to that? Nowadays, angry people take to social media to defame, defile, harass, and puke out their venom. If possible, destroy someone's reputation and livelihood. What happened to just peacefully grieving our differences? People have every right to disagree. Shoot, I disagree with the government. I have the right to do that. It's my right, but I don't tear down people and crucify them, or do I burn buildings? With police officers caught up in it. You remember when that happened? Stephen in Acts was a great man of God. He was a good man, a really good guy, who stayed behind, took care of the widows, and handed out food, while the disciples went on their way to spread the gospel. They voted him. He said, oh yeah, I'll stay. I mean, yeah, that wasn't probably the recognized job, the fun job, to get to go with the disciples and sit around taking care of people like me. Well, he had his own ministry going on. He loved God so much. Where he was, the word says he was full of faith and did great wonders and miracles. Wonders. People wondered at what he did. It wasn't just like, oh yeah, that's nice. It was just so great. You can have a ministry anywhere you are, even if you're left behind, and it seems like it. That infuriated some religious men, and they started disputing with Stephen. Basically, they tried to argue with him. But the word says they were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. That's in Acts 6. So here was the enemy's same old method. They secretly instigated, stirred up the people, and set up false witnesses online. They could do nothing against the followers of Jesus until they stirred up people against them. It's a nasty tactic of the enemy. We can't let ourselves be fooled. So when we see the people on media attacking ICE, police, screaming, doing the sick things that they do and say, remember, it's the enemy that comes to steal, and comes to destroy. People just yield to the enemy and let him have their way in them. Christians will do that. Does God love them, all these people, and want redemption for them? Absolutely. As much as he wanted me, he wants them. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10:16, he was sending them out to preach and navigate a world that was hostile. And this is what Jesus said. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So that's not to mean that we lay down and people walk all over us because we have the Christian label. Wise as serpents means this. It's a strategic shrewdness. Acting with foresight, planning, and understanding how the world operates to protect oneself and the mission. Alertness and watchfulness being vigilant and aware of surroundings, often compared to as serpents, always open eyes, discerning when to withdraw, knowing when to leave a dangerous or unproductive situation rather than facing pointless conflict, using caution and wit, avoiding snares set by opponents, and employing street smarts in ministry work. The wisdom of a serpent and the harmlessness of the dove to ensure that, despite being shrewd, Christians don't become predatory, malicious, or dishonest. This is the command Jesus gave to his disciples when sending them out. So let's all take this advice from me. When we see or hear something on social media or the news or from a person, let's say it's negative, can we do this one thing, Wait 24 to 48 hours. Let it cook before you believe it or react to it. Don't jump on the keyboard warrior club and start posting. The post, you guys remember the post from Trump or from True Social? I got on social media and a pastor that I follow, and then someone told me about, anyway, I'm just going to skip that part because I've already blown that a little bit. And he's on like the faith council or something. Actually, I unfriended him, I'll just tell you, because it just irritated me that he was. So I texted him. I said, what's going on with these posts about what Trump did or said? And she said, I don't know, Mom. And so she looked it up for me. And do you remember the post about if something Trump had accomplished? And then at the very end of it, there was that group, you know, without me saying anything about the Obamas. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. And so, I mean, here you got men that and women that pray for him that are lambasting him. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I mean, he does some crazy stuff. That doesn't sound right. Well, come to find out, here's kind of how it works. You can imagine. I see a lot of things, I mean, you know, coming my way. But one of his staff members, the story they tell is one of the staff, he approved the thing that he accomplished. And then at the end, it was stuck on there. It's something that had floated around a few years ago. And it stuck on there. Well, he didn't see that. But what I'm saying is, and then he came out, they explained it, and they still try to say, what do you want? And he didn't give in. He just said, no, I didn't. It's simple as that. And they couldn't really build on it because he didn't give him anything to build on because he kept his mouth shut about it, basically. Help us. But anyway, it's time. Oh, wait a minute. No. So that's what I'm saying. Just let it cook. Wait, before you get all angry and all of that, and then the rest of the pastors, I thought, oh, come on. Just give it a minute. One of the things the lawless one empowered by Satan will do, the lawless one in the end, in the last days is wicked deception. Jesus himself said, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you, and leading you into error. That's in the last days. It's time for us to be very bold about who Jesus is. Proverbs 28 says, righteous are bold as a lion. We can't allow culture to infiltrate the church and shape the message. Can't let someone come in here and shut us down. We are in the last days, people. Now, how long the last days will last, I don't know. Could be a long time. Could be tomorrow. I don't know. But Jesus warned us about that, and there's a lot of deception going around. Last week, we talked about us being the temple of God. He has set up residence inside of us. We have to keep that in mind, in the forefront of our mind. He is always with us. Stay close. Stay connected. We have to take time for the Word. There is a lot of, just like me reading in Acts, and I mean, I was studying it out, and I'd stop, and it just was so clearly. It's the same thing that's happening today. It's the same thing that's happening today, except it's just more widespread. We have to stay focused, measure everything with the Word of God, that clears up the deception. With AI out there and developing faster than we can even imagine, we can't be gullible in these last days. Holy Spirit will guide us and keep us on track. He'll keep us from deception. Remember this, God is all-knowing. He knows the tricks of the enemy, his ways of deception. Nothing takes him by surprise. The power of God does not diminish just because Satan is ramping up all of his tricks to destroy us in these last days. Satan is a wimp compared to the power of God inside of us. We just have to be wise enough to remember this when the stirring comes, when deception tries to come. Just say out loud, the Spirit of the living God has taken up residency inside me. I follow him and not the voice of a stranger. Our words matter. So I said all that and left all of a bunch out of what's going on. But I never want to leave you with doom and gloom and ugliness. So here's some encouragement. Dutch Sheets posted this week about a prophet he teaches that shared with Dutch. She shared this. These are her words, not me. I'm repeating them so they're mine, okay? Recently, while scrolling through one of my social media pages, I saw a picture someone had posted. The photographer had captured the sun rising directly behind a weeping willow tree by a river. When she saw the picture, she said, immediately and very clearly heard the Lord say, weeping has endured for the night, but morning is breaking and joy is coming. I'm drawing you up to myself. I am making you inaccessible to the enemy who has sought to overtake you. I have not, nor will I allow your foes to rejoice over you. You've cried out to me for help, and I've heard you cry. Your help is on the way. I am your helper. I am extending mercy to you. My glory is breaking through. I am loosing you from the cloak of sorrow and clothing you with gladness. I'm turning your weeping into joy, your sorrow into dancing, and test into a testimony that will further ignite the flames of awakening and true revival. My manifested glory is coming in, unquote. For that, then she goes on to say, the constant warfare, the weariness and exhaustion threatens to weave a veil over our focus to get us off course. But Yahweh is extending help and mercy to us. He is turning things for us and in us. He's giving us a second wind, enabling us to catch our breath and refocus on him and his promises. He is with us. This battle belongs to him. He will not allow our foes to rejoice over us. She said in 2021, she received an encouraging vision and word from the Lord. She felt the need to release it again. In the vision, she saw people whom she knew were intercessors. This woman talking, is a great intercessor. They were spinning around swiftly like a top. Now, you can't get mad at me. I don't know if I can find it. This is so fun. But this is what she said she saw. See if I can do it real good. I can do better. Thank you. Thank you. So they were spinning around like a top, and she could see the enemy watching them, laughing, making fun of them, mocking them. Suddenly, she saw the finger of God placed on the heads of those intercessors and the spinning top. And in that moment, they began to glow with a brilliant light. Immediately, she heard the Lord say, the nauseating dizziness and all of the confusion from the unexpected attacks launched against you have come to an end. The attacks, he said to her, have not made you weak. In spite of what the enemy tried to do to you, I have strengthened your inner man, your spirit. What I have developed in you will now begin to radiate through you with a vibrancy that cannot be extinguished or avoided. Healing and strength are your portion. You are stepping out of a dark spinning season into the light of my now moment. And as you walk with me, I will shine through you with power and the manifestation of my mind. The spinning is now becoming a turning of events, a turning in your favor. The Spirit of the Lord said, I have built in you a resistance that hell cannot penetrate. You are fortified. The barrier that is formed against and around you will not hem you in. It will keep hell out. I am surrounding you as a wall of fire. My glory is in you both to flow from you in a magnificent way. There is an undeniable increase of spiritual resistance. We just talked about. But Yahweh is reminding of this us of this powerful, unchangeable truth. Greater is he that is in us than any force of hell that comes against us. We are surrounded by an impenetrable force of the power of God. Though the battle has been intense, our assurance is that we are fortified and hell cannot defeat us. No amount of resistance can stop us as he works through us to fulfill his intentions for this nation. Spinning is ending and things are turning as the Ancient of Days rises on our behalf. Many, many people have interceded at great cost to themselves for this country. We have interceded here, but honestly not on the level that some people have. But this word is for your own life. The things that you have been going through and believing God for, that there's been a resistance there. We are in a divine moment in time. Things look crazy, helpless at times. Stay the course. Stay the course. Don't get entrapped by your emotions. Don't relax your stand on the Word of God. It stands firm. Don't allow weariness to rob you of your due season. Don't lose hope and don't discard your courage. Let God readjust your vision and stabilize your resolve. Don't grow weary. God is giving you a second wind that comes to an athlete, an unexpected burst of energy and renewed endurance, enabling him to see the finish line. We are in a time when God is drawing us to himself intensely. He's making us aware of his presence, and a spiritual hunger is being stirred, that's a good stirring, that many haven't felt in years. Just when it looks like craziness, hate, deceit, lawlessness is taking over and winning, like Satan has won. He is turning our weeping into joy, our sorrow into dancing, and our test into a testimony. The true revival is here. Another college has broken out in revival. They said where kids are getting up in front of everybody and confessing their sins and getting radically saved. God has put his finger on us. We keep praying with renewed power over this nation, over ourselves, over our situation. We're not going to stand by and let her slip away. We are anchored on God's promises, and you have secured our victory over what we have believing for in faith. The spinning has come to an end. We refuse to allow the enemy to talk us into defeat and surrendering our post. So here's my prayer. Thank you, Father, for healing each of us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, so that with renewed focus and strength, we can rise to finish what you have started in and through us. We trust you, Lord, and we will not be afraid. Your favor is upon us, and you will work through us to fully establish all of your intentions for our time. We partner with you. And all you planned for our future, including revival and reformation, we are being saved daily, and America is being saved in Jesus' name. Amen.